Jesus is coming again, friends. Are you ready for that great day? If you're not, I want to encourage you to obey the gospel while you have an opportunity. If you've already done that, I want to encourage you to continue living faithfully. The greatest day that lies ahead for each and every one of us is the coming judgment day, Jesus coming again, and that coming judgment day. We sing in our song books, there's a great day coming, and we need to be prepared for that. Over the past few weeks, a couple of weeks, this will be our third installment, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I've been talking about the second coming of Christ. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28 says that Jesus is going to come a second time. And we need to be thinking about that. Jesus is going to return. Jesus himself said that he would return in John 14 and verse 3, for example, if I go, I will come again. The angels said that Jesus would come again in Acts chapter 1, 9 through 11, when Jesus ascended back up into heaven, the angels said that he would come back in like manner as you saw him going into heaven. He will come back. New Testament Christians and even Christians today, when they partake of the Lord's Supper, proclaim the Lord's death till he come. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. Various apostles and gospel writers said that Jesus would come again. The Apostle Paul said that he would come again. The Hebrew writer, James, Peter, John. The second coming of Christ is well documented from the words of Jesus himself to angels, to New Testament Christians who believed that, to the apostles. Friends, we need to get on board with the fact that just like Jesus came a first time, and even skeptics and atheists don't even deny that, they believe what the historians say about a Jesus of Nazareth. Just as Jesus came that first time, he's going to come again. And so because this day is so important, because the judgment day is so important, I've been wanting to study this with you on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we've been looking at some important questions. First of all, we answer the question, what is going to happen? Jesus is coming a second time. We answered the question, who is coming? Jesus is coming with himself and with his angels with him. Matthew 25, 31. We answered the question, when is he coming? He's coming at the end of the world or age, 1 Corinthians 15, 23 and 24. And he's coming at a time that is unannounced, Matthew 25, 13. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 3. 2 Peter 3, 10, he's coming as a thief in the night. And we're going to bring up that point again in today's lesson. So, when is he coming? The fourth question we answered is, why is he coming? To raise all the dead, John 5, 28 and 29. To join the dead and living Christians together in the air, 1 Thessalonians 4, 17. To judge the world, to sit on his throne in glory and judge the world, Matthew 25, 31 and following. To deliver the kingdom up to God, the kingdom being the faithful and righteous who are in God's kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15, 24. And to destroy the earth. When the Lord comes again, the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up, 2 Peter 3, 10. We noticed a couple of other consequences or results of his coming. To be like Jesus, we shall see him even as he is. We shall be like him, John says, 1 John 3, 2. And to be forever with him, 1 Thessalonians 4, 17, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we've answered these four important questions. We want to close this morning with two final, very important questions. Number one, where is Jesus coming to? And number two, how is he coming? There's been, just like on these other questions, there's been misunderstanding and erroneous and false teaching. There has been the same on these questions. Where is he coming to? And how is he coming? So let's close our series of lessons by looking at those two questions this morning. Where is Jesus coming to? Well, it depends on who you ask. A lot of religious individuals who have bought into premillennialism believe that Jesus is coming back to actually rule and reign on the earth in a restored Jerusalem. In a restored Jerusalem, and he will sit on a throne for 1,000 years. He's coming all the way back to the earth. But we answered this question earlier. First of all, he already has a kingdom, 1 Corinthians 15. He's not going to come back and set up a kingdom. He already has a kingdom. And when he comes back again, it's not to set up that kingdom. It's to come back and deliver up the kingdom that he has now, Colossians 1:13. The kingdom that he has now, people, righteous Christians now, he will deliver that up to God. He's not going to establish one. For the first time, he's going to take what was established on the day of Pentecost. Remember, the apostles and others in the book of Acts were preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And they would not be preaching that if there was no kingdom. You remember Philip, for example, in Acts chapter 8, when he went down to Samaria to preach and teach, we're told what he was preaching and teaching. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, they believed Philip preaching the good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. What were those good tidings? That there is a kingdom, and how can you get into it? By being baptized into Christ. So Christ already has a kingdom, not to set up one sometime in the future. The church is not some afterthought. The church is not some second-rate plan that was put in place when Jesus tried to set up a kingdom the first time and he got rejected by the Jews, and so the backup plan was the church. No, sir, that is not the case. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenly places might be made known through the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. This was not an afterthought. This was the eternal purpose of God. It's not a backup plan. The church was planned from the beginning of time, that Jesus would come and die on the cross. This was known in advance. Peter preached on the day of Pentecost that it was the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God that caused the crucifixion. And so Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, upon this rock I will build my church. This was before he died. This was a plan of Christ. And that church is his kingdom. In the very next verse, I will build my church. The very next verse, Jesus says to the apostles, to Peter, and then in Luke 18, we know it's all the apostles, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And so, when he comes, it's not going to be to come down to earth to establish a kingdom. He already has that. He's going to come from heaven, and the righteous are going to be caught up in the air with him. So he's not going to set foot on the earth. The earth and the works therein are going to be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10. There's not going to be an earth to put your feet on. So he's not going to come down. There's not going to be a Jerusalem to rule in. There's not going to be a paradise on earth. Our Jehovah's Witness friends teach that, and others teach a restored earth or a renovated earth. 2 Peter 3:10, it's going to be burned up. But Jesus is going to come down, and he's going to be in the air, and the righteous are going to be caught up together to be with him. How do I know that? Well, this is the Let the Bible Speak program. We just simply want to let the Bible speak. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 17, then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus went up in the clouds, Acts 1:9. He's going to come down, and that's where he's going to be. And the righteous are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so let's be mindful of that. He's not coming to the earth to establish a kingdom. He's coming to the clouds, and the righteous will be caught up, those who are alive. And those who are dead in Christ, verse 16, shall rise first. And we that are alive are left shall together with them. Will you be among the living righteous or the dead righteous? If so, you'll be caught up together to be with Christ. If you're not among that, if you're among the living wicked or the dead wicked, Jesus said you will face Christ and God in judgment. The wicked will too. And the wicked, for example, if you're wicked and you haven't obeyed the gospel and there's sin in your life and you die, you're going to be raised. And Jesus said in verse 28 and 29, all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice, and those that have done evil will be raised unto the resurrection of judgment. So let's be among the living righteous or the dead righteous, not the wicked or the evil. Then, the next question is, how is he coming? This has been misunderstood and erroneously taught for many, many years. Some have said that he's coming secretly, you don't know it. Our Jehovah's Witness friends said that Jesus came secretly in about 1914, and then he came again secretly about 1976. And whenever they make predictions and it doesn't come true, their fallback plan is always, well, he came secretly, nobody saw him. That's not true. The Bible says that when he comes, it's going to be that which we can see and hear. So let's look at how Jesus is coming. Well, first of all, he's coming personally. He left personally. He's coming back personally. Jesus himself shall descend. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. So he's coming personally. We know, as we studied earlier, he'll have his glorious angels with him. Some of those, we learn from 2 Thessalonians 1, are in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to those who do not obey the gospel. So Jesus is coming personally with his holy angels. Number two, he's coming audibly. There's going to be a noise. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. Jesus also said in John 5:28, all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice. So it doesn't matter if we're above the ground or below the ground. It doesn't matter if we're alive or if we're dead. Everyone is going to hear the voice of Jesus. That's going to be a miraculous, audible noise that no one will mistake. No one will be able to say, well, I didn't hear that. A lot of times there are noises around and some people hear it and some people don't. That's not going to be the case with Jesus when he comes again. So number one, he's coming personally. Number two, he's coming audibly. Number three, he's coming visibly. And so, again, it's very important to understand these things. People make false predictions about the coming of Christ, and they set these dates. There's been many, many people that have set dates on the coming of Christ, and they've been wrong because the Bible tells us we can't know when he's coming. And they set these dates, and when the dates come and go, they say, well, he just came secretly. Nobody heard him or saw him. These two men in white apparel in Acts chapter 1 say to the disciples, why stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was received up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you beheld him going into heaven. Beheld him. They saw him leave, and people will see him coming again in like manner. So number three, visibly. Number four, in glory. Jesus said in Matthew 25:31, speaking of himself, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. This is going to be a glorious, spectacular event. It'll be amazing and awesome, awe-inspiring. It'll be magnificent. It'll be literally out of this world. It will be not of this world. And it's going to turn heads, so to speak. Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then you also with him be manifested in glory. Friends, this is the greatest day that lies ahead for all of us, and we need to be ready for that. Are you ready for that? And there's going to be this great day, the same passage that speaks of the Son of Man coming in his glory and all the angels with him. Then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all the nations. That's you and I and everybody else. And he shall separate them one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he goes on to say that the separation, the very last verse here in verse 46 of this particular section, these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. What side will you be on, friends? We're all going to be there. You're not going to be able to escape this. You're not going to be able to say, well, I'm not going to show up. That's one appointment I'm going to skip. We're all going to be there. And it's going to be glorious. And there will be people who will be bowing that have not bowed here too. All of the proud people, all the unbelievers and all the skeptics. Every knee, Paul says, shall bow, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that each one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Romans 14, 11 and 12. It's going to be Jesus coming in his glory and sitting on the throne of his glory, and we need to be prepared for that great day. Number five, he's coming with his angels in flaming fire, rendering vengeance. We've talked about this before in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. This is not going to be some event up in the sky that is happening and in such a way that is cute or fun or kind of like a fireworks show. It's going to be something that is very serious. And when someone does not know God and does not obey the gospel, and I'm going to encourage you to do that this morning before it's too late, you're going to get something very bad. Verse 9, you will suffer punishment, even eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. Do you see that word glory, glory, glory? This is not some ordinary, mundane, boring, drab event. It is glorious. And it is that which is going to glorify Christ. And all the people who have ignored him and belittled him and rebuked him, made fun of him, disbelieved him, spoken against him, they're going to glorify Christ in their actions. They're going to bow down and they're going to confess, but it's going to be too late to be saved. So friends, I would encourage you, if you're not ready for that great day, to get ready. And I would be glad to assist you in being baptized into Christ. There's all kinds of stuff going on that people are concerned about. High gas prices, inflation, open borders, the prospect of war with Russia, violence, and the murder rates are up, and no jobs, etc., etc. And often on a daily basis, people are talking about these kinds of things, especially the economy and the high prices. And I have no problem talking about those kinds of things. We need to deal with those kinds of things. But let's not lose sight of what is even more important to talk about, and that is the second coming of Christ. Believe me, when Jesus comes again, high gas prices are not going to be on the minds of anybody. And the economy is not going to be on the minds of anybody. And so let's not lose sight of the big picture. And that is Jesus coming. And then last of all, number six, and most importantly with regard to timing, Jesus is coming without warning. I cannot stress that enough. I've mentioned it before in these lessons, and I will close with it again. Jesus said, Matthew 25:13, "Watch therefore, for you know not the day nor the hour." He's going to come as a thief in the night. 1 Thessalonians 5:1-3, 2 Peter 3:10. He's going to come as a thief in the night. In other words, unannounced, without warning. You will not have time, friends, to obey the gospel. You will not have time as an erring Christian to come back. Jesus does not want people to be with him in heaven who converted at the last minute simply to avoid a problem, but they don't truly love Jesus and they don't truly want to obey him, but they got word right before he was coming, and so they made a quick change. He doesn't want those kind of people. He wants people who love his first appearing and believe in his first appearing and obey his words that he said when he first came. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28, Christ, having once offered to bear the sins of many, that's when he first came and died on the cross, shall appear a second time apart from sin. He's not coming again to forgive people of sins or to have a plan of salvation. It's going to be apart from sin. There's another reason why he's coming. To them that wait for him unto salvation. To them that wait for him unto salvation. That's the kind of people that he's looking for. And he's looking for people who love him now and want to obey him now. He's coming without warning. The warning that we have is in the scripture, but the warning is not going to be through some signs or through some world events or a particular individual with a particular name. people have done that, especially with Hal Lindsey starting in the 1980s. He had books Countdown to Armageddon. That was back when there was tension between President Reagan and President Gorbachev. There was tension between the United States and Russia. We had just been coming off a Cold War. There was still some of that lingering. Russia hadn't completely, the wall hadn't come down between East and West Berlin. The old Russia was still kind of, a part of the geopolitical landscape. And so individuals were trying to say, this is it. There's going to be a battle of Armageddon and Russia's going to be involved. So the early 1980s, there were a number of books saying, this is it. Jesus is coming again. There's going to be the rapture, the battle of Armageddon, and the thousand-year reign of Christ. Because Russia is supposed to be one of those alleged enemies of Christ that's in the book of Revelation. Well, that has come and gone, and that hasn't happened. So from that point on, there's always been date setters. There's even been date setters going back to the 1800s and even beyond. They've all proven to be false. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. We're given that warning that he is coming. We're not given signs. And somebody says, well, what about Matthew chapter 24? That sounds like when I read my Bible in Matthew chapter 24, that sounds like a whole chapter of signs and different things that are going to be taking place. But when people read Matthew chapter 24, they don't read the context. They read some verses where Jesus says, look for this and look for that, and when you see this and when you see that, but they don't back up and get the context. It's actually starting in chapter 23 and verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Jesus is talking about the fall of Jerusalem, and they will be able to know some things leading up to the fall of Jerusalem. You will know some things. But then, starting in verse 36, he says, you know not some things. From there all the way through chapter 25, he's talking about his second coming. We don't know that. But chapter 24, 1 through 35, those in his day, in his generation, verse 34, they could know the fall of Jerusalem. So we have to read that chapter very carefully. Well, Jesus is coming again. And let us be ready. Can I help you, friend, to be ready for that? There's no reason and there's no excuse not to be ready. Let me help you. Let's sit down and study the Word of God together. Contact us with the information at the close of this lesson. And we can get together and study God's Word, and I can baptize you into Christ, and you can continue to live and worship as a faithful Christian, you and your family and loved ones, and be ready for Jesus to come. Don't you want that? That is something that is good for all of us, and we can be with Him and be manifest with Him in glory. What a great thing. Thank you for joining us this morning on the program, and I await and look forward to hearing from you. Please have a good day.